You guys can all start turning to Colossians 3 this morning. That's Colossians. It's in the New Testament. It's just after the Gospels. You have Gospels, you have Acts, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So, things seem to be getting more bizarre by the week, it almost seems like. Things 5 years ago we never would have thought possible are pretty much commonplace today. As the world is in disarray, us as believers, we have two directions that we can go. We can follow suit with what the world is doing and get tangled up with them and the troubles that they're facing, or we can focus and stay, keep our focus on God and stay with what He's wanting to show us or tell us. My prayer and my resolve is for us to stick with God. Some of the worldly things like to get us distracted at times. They get our focus off of what God is wanting to do. They get our focus off of Him and try to focus on something other than Him. But He's wanting our obedience more than anything. We've got choices every day. But God wants to show us the direction and the decisions to be made. It's up to us to recognize His promptings. This passage out of Colossians today is exactly what is speaking to the way that we should act, the way we should carry ourselves in today's times. How we should be looking at what to do when things are getting tough, when we have to make decisions that we'll have to live with. Now, before we get to verse 12, which starts with the word therefore, I'm going to let you guys in a little bit on how I study the Bible. So when I see a word that connects with what is about to be said, I go back and read what was before it again. So when I look at what was said right before this, the word therefore, it's a connecting word, so it's fully related to it. But in Colossians 3, 8 through 11, he talks about putting off anger, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. But the important thing is we don't just take all that off of us. You don't remove all that and not put something else on instead. See, if we take all that off but we don't put something else on in its place, something else will start to creep in there and try to take foot and try to hold its place where that was. It's true, nature abhors a vacuum. After we take all those things off, there's something very specific we should be putting on to fill its place. We're to put on the new man. And that's what we're talking about this morning. So in Colossians 3, starting in verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must do also. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. First thing that Paul comes out saying here is, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. It's almost an instructional sandwich that Paul is doing here. He gave us instructions to take off and put on, but smack in the middle of it is a reminder of our identity in Christ. That we are the elect of God. That we are chosen by Him. He hand-picked each and every one of you. He made us holy as he grafted us into his family. Now, holy is simply set apart. It's kind of like one of those good sets of plates that you guys have that many of us got out Thursday. The ones that they're set apart for something, for when you have guests over, for when you have the family get-togethers. It's not your everyday stuff. It's cherished and reserved for when you want to say that, hey, this is something special. That's kind of like holy. We are set apart for something special. And then he reminds us that we are beloved. We are loved in God's eyes. God loves us so much. God loves us so much. You may be thinking, but Pastor John, I don't feel very loved. It doesn't matter. You are loved. Whether you feel like you're loved or not, God loves each and every one of you. He loves us all the time. We're made holy. We're set apart because he loves us. We're his elect, his chosen, because he loves us. As the Passion Translation says here, you are always and dearly loved by God. Such a fitting way to say it. So since we've taken off those things that we mentioned there, that we're turning from, we need to pick up and put on what God wants to clothe us with. Ever hear the saying that the clothes make the man? Well, these are some of the finest clothes there are. People often recognize what you're for just by what you're wearing. Some of you, okay, David, I know you root for Indiana University. I know that based on what he wears all the time. Usually his jacket says IU on it. Sweatshirt, a lot of times says IU on it. Back in the day, I used to be big into diesel trucks and souping them up and diesel truck performance. So pretty much what I wore was usually a Cummins hat, a Cummins shirt, or some other diesel performance shop's shirt. But you knew what I was for based on what I was clothed in. It's the way we are as Christians too. When we clothe ourselves in God's virtues, we reflect what we support with God. The things that God is known for. Let's look at each of these that Paul encourages us to put on this morning. The first one is to put on tender mercies. Notice that mercies is plural. Just as God has mercies for us, we should have mercy for others as well. Lamentations 3:22. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Since God has new mercy for us every day, that's the way we should walk as well. Continually walking in mercy. If you're using the King James Version here, you probably saw that it says bowels of mercy. Now you may be thinking that does not sound like a good translation. But there's actually a good reason why they use the word bowels there. See, the bowels are where the Hebrews believed that tender affections resided, like mercy and compassion. It's what today we might call heartfelt mercies. We should put on heartfelt mercies. He encourages us to put on kindness. Now listen, there is a difference between kindness and niceness. There's a difference between kind and being nice. Nice. Hang on. Nice is defined as being pleasable, agreeable, or delightful. Being kind, though, is having or showing mercy or proceeding from benevolence. Benevolence is being helpful. Are you guys seeing the difference here? Nice gets somebody out of your face, tells them what they want to hear. Kind, on the other hand, it cares for the other person. It has the hard conversations that you want to truly help that person. It's speaking the truth in love. It's not letting someone think that they can live that lifestyle and call themselves a Christian and ignore what God is telling them already. Kindness has love and helps someone. We're to put on kindness. We also talk about putting on humility, because that pushes the attention back to God. Humility recognizes that it's not all about you, that we're small when compared to Him. Talks about humility here and also meekness. Meekness has a gentleness in being humble. It's a gentleness on how you carry yourself. It's a humbleness that doesn't brag, even though it feels like something you could very well brag about. It's quiet humility. One of the other things that we're to put on is long-suffering. Now, one would think with words like this that you would just take and just flip it around and think long-suffering is just to suffer for a long time, right? Is that how you guys usually read the Bible too? Or how you look at words? So, the problem though is God doesn't want any of us to suffer though, does He? Long-suffering, when you see it were used, just think of this word. Patience. God wants us to have patience with one another. It's the nature of God to have patience with us. Please say amen to that. We have to remember that we have bad days. If it's walking with someone who's newer in the faith, remember, we were there once. Going through some things, they're going to face it the way they're going to face it. But it's good to have patience with them. How someone responds to something, and they haven't been through something like that before, we need to have patience with them as they bounce around the rubber room, as it used to be said. Sometimes it takes people a little bit of time to get to a realization. I know I'm thick-headed at times. It takes me a little bit of time for me to grasp what God's been trying to tell me. Sometimes He has to tell it to me over and over and over before I get it. We need to put on long-suffering and have patience with one another. We're also called to be bearing with one another. Bearing with one another is not just putting up with one another. I know we're looking at a lot of specific words here this morning, but it's good so that we understand them. It's good for us. We need to make sure that we don't read these things and get overwhelmed by some of these words that we may not think of it that way right off the bat. Or we just think of them as something else and just skip right over them without really digesting what God's wanting to show us in it. So let's think about the word bearing here. Now, whether you're a guy or a lady, at some point you've probably looked at a wall in a house and thought, man, this would be really nice if this wall was not here. Or, oh, well, what if this wall was just moved over or something? Well, then the next question that you're starting to ask yourself is this a load-bearing wall? Does it support the floor above it? Does it support the trusses in that area to help support the weight of the snow on the roof? That's the type of bearing we're talking about here. It's to literally help hold one another up at times, to support the weight of what is going on. We're to come alongside our brothers and sisters. We're to care for them so much that we try to help and lighten their burden. God will place someone on our heart, and He'll reveal to us how He wants us to come alongside Him. Some people, it could be checking on them. Some people, it could be giving financially. Some people, it could be an act of service, making a meal for them. It could be a number of ways. But the key is to listen to God and hear how He wants us to come alongside Him. In Galatians 6, starting in verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Forbearance is doing it with love and a desire to help them, though. Not to do it for them. It's to come alongside them. It's to do life together with them. It's helping them through that. This is for somebody else here, too. I don't know who it is, but don't be afraid to receive forbearance from others as well. Let them come alongside you. Don't let pride get in the way. Don't let it try to take root. Don't let it try to present itself. They're listening to God. They're doing obedience of what God's telling them to do. You may be just surprised at how God lines things up as well. Finally, here he says, to forgive one another, even as Christ forgave us. Forgiveness is a difficult one at times. As humans with our flesh, we have a tendency to hang on to things sometimes. Not to let things go. To let past hurts continue to hurt us. Things sometimes stick with you for years to come. Listen, forgiveness is not forgetting completely about something either. It's releasing it from having control over you. It's not holding something against someone. Forgiveness is not for the other person. It's actually for you. It releases it from you. You can think, oh, well, I've forgiven them. And then the second you see their face in the grocery store, all kinds of things start coming back at you. You need to truly release it. You need to say, hey, no, this is not going to have this control over me anymore. That happened 10 years ago. There's no reason that it's what's going on. Oh, that's great to hear back there. Oh. Unforgiveness continues to drive a wedge between you and the other person. Forgiveness is very much central to Christianity. Christ has forgiven us already for what we've repented of, what we've changed our ways about. But Jesus was very direct with us about us needing to forgive to others. Matthew 6, and verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Without forgiveness, we can continue to carry our sin. Forgiveness, though, is what separates our sin from us. When Jesus forgave us, He separated that sin from us. As far as the east is from the west is what my Bible says. We should forgive others as well. Forgiveness is so central to the gospel of the kingdom. Our past, our present, and our future sins are all what keep us from fellowship with God. God is a perfect and holy being. There isn't any sin in heaven. so we can't take it with us. He needed to make us clean and remove that sin from us. So if our Father in heaven is willing to forgive us, we need to walk in forgiveness as well. It should be a part of our personality, a part of our character, one of our attributes, something that we're known for. We need to put on forgiveness. But above all, as Paul continues here, we should put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Love pretty much sums up everything we've talked about so far. The agape love, the unconditional love. We need to be putting on that kind of love here. Love that's merciful. Love that doesn't give someone what they deserved. It errs on the side of grace. Love that is kind, caring for one another, wanting to help someone. Love that is humble and meek, that doesn't boast, that is gentle. Love that is long-suffering. Love that's patient, that bears with one another. Love that forgives, that doesn't hold a record of wrongs. You know, somehow this sounds familiar to another passage. That's no accident with God, is it? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but not have love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but not have love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It's more than just a passage that's read at weddings. It applies to our everyday lives. More than anything, we need love. More than anything, we need to put on agape. It's so important to put on love. So in this passage, the whole phrase, put on, jumps out at me. Knowing that I've seen these instructions to put on things in the past. If you're taking notes this morning or wanting other passages to study further, write these down. Romans 13, starting in verse 11. And do this, knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the law, its lust. Here in Romans 13, notice that he's talking about putting on armor of light and putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3, starting in verse 26, For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This passage in Colossians that we're studying was talking about the new man. If you remember when we talked about baptism a few months ago, we were talking about being immersed. Notice in Galatians here too, he talks about being baptized. That's immersed into Christ. If you're baptized into Christ, you're immersed into Christ, you've put on Christ. When you're immersed in Christ, everything we've talked about today, it'll flow and just drip off of you. Completely surrounded by Christ. Finally, here in 1 Corinthians 15, in verses 53 and 4, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass, saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Paul is saying here, our flesh is corruptible. Our flesh is mortal. But when we put on Christ, we put on incorruption, we put on immortality. It's only because of Christ that we're able to do any of that, though. When we put on Christ, we can truly say that death is swallowed up in victory. That eternal death has no victory over our soul. We have eternal victory over the grave. Wrapping up here in Colossians 3 again. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." After having put on Christ, let the peace of God rule. Let Holy Spirit guide us on how to live our lives. Everything we do can have an impact for the kingdom. It can all flow out of us because of being surrounded and immersed in him. In Ephesians 4, starting verse 1 here, it says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." It all ties together here. Putting on love, which is the bond of perfection, bearing with one another in love, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Put on Christ. Put on his royal robe that he wants to put us on in. Put on his righteousness. Allow him to exchange our old ways for his ways. All of these attributes that we talked about this morning are found in the person of Jesus. Fully embracing and incorporating Christ into everything we do, we operate out of this place of the new man. Focusing on what is good and worthy for our calling and his kingdom. We're heading into Christmas season here. So often people feel an urge of generosity. When we put on Christ, it's far more than just a season of kindness. It becomes a lifestyle. Amen. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you sent him here to the earth in love, God. Lord, that every one of your attributes is embodied in Jesus, Lord, that we were able to recognize everything that is of you, God. Lord, that we recognize what you are doing with him, God. Lord, we put on you, Jesus. We put on every attribute that you have, God. We put on everything that you exude, Lord. Lord, let it flow out of us as well. Lord, let us be clothed in it so that when others see us, they see you, God. When others see us, they see what you stand for, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you love us so much, God. Lord, we thank you for that love that just flows out of you, God. We embrace your love. Lord, help us show your love to those around us. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for who you are. We give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.